Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from Denver, Colorado. Welcome to the show, Sean Roberts.
Thanks for having me, Victor.
Great to have you here. Now, Sean, you are in a very specific niche of the market, one that I'm excited to talk about because there's a tremendous amount of opportunity in infill projects and in existing, taking advantage of existing zoning, existing relaxation of some zoning standards in many communities. But before we do, maybe if you could take a moment, give a little bit of your backstory, how you got to this point in your journey.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I started my career in finance, initially in investment banking and then in private equity, and then specifically in real estate private equity for a number of years. And then about 5.5 years ago, I entered the startup space and spent a few years building a business that eventually became a vertically integrated real estate brokerage, title company, and mortgage company that spanned 12 cities across 8 states. And we scaled that up from when I joined. It was about 20 people, and we peaked out at about 1,000 in early 2022. And that was a ton of fun building that business, which had a very different offering for how folks buy and sell homes. And then I got to know the team at Villa late last year, and they were looking for a new CEO to take the business to the next level of growth. And I came on board in January of 2023, and it's been a ton of fun since then, not just selling homes, but also building homes.
I'm a big believer that home building is changing in significant ways. And I just witnessed it even in our own business, where in the past we would have stick built an awful lot of product, where today, if I look forward for anything that's wood frame, almost 100% of it now is coming out of a factory, even for very large scale projects. And you've embraced that concept as well. So I'm excited because it really is the forefront of construction. It's changed dramatically. So tell me a bit about what Villa's been up to.
Yeah, well, so the company got started about 4 years ago, initially focused on backyard homes in California. So with all the legislation that's changed around ADUs or accessory dwelling units, a lot of the historical barriers to building those were removed by the state government. And our business really got going providing those homes to individual homeowners that wanted to add additional living space in their backyard or potentially a rental unit. And in the 4 years since we've got that business going, we're now the largest builder of detached prefab ADUs across the state. And we sell ADUs and build them for both consumer applications as well as increasingly institutional applications. And with the legal regime that exists in California, it's relatively easy to put an ADU alongside a single family home, so long as you have the physical space. And what we found this year is there's a lot of demand from institutional clients that have multifamily properties, particularly low rise or garden style apartment buildings that have excess land or parking that can be turned into additional yield by adding units via the ADU laws. And with our physical product, which is a volumetric prefab home, we can do that relatively cost efficiently and pretty quickly, which is important to minimize site disruption for existing tenants. So we've been really busy this year and in the prior years building a lot of ADUs all throughout the state. We've built as far north as Calistoga and as far south as San Diego and everywhere in between, really adding much needed housing into these really important infill locations and using the benefits of volumetric prefab construction to do it efficiently and quickly, which has been really resonant with both consumers and institutional investors looking to add this type of product to their properties.
One of the other restrictions on an ADU, if I understand the legislation correctly, is that in most communities, it has to share the utilities as the main house or the principal residence in order to qualify as an accessory dwelling unit. So presumably, you don't have to duplicate or replicate any of that infrastructure in terms of servicing within your product, although you do have to pull the services from the principal residence.
Yeah, that's right. Usually, we're tying into the existing, you know, electrical, plumbing, sewer, et cetera. And that's something that we orchestrate on behalf of our clients. Obviously, there's some complexity and work associated with doing that. And sometimes, depending on the site, we may be doing things like upgrading water meters or upgrading electrical panels to be able to accommodate the load of the additional structure. But that's, you know, that's what we do. That's what we're good at. And it's certainly a part of adding these types of units onto existing properties.
Now, I'm a big believer that one size never fits all. You've got a fairly sizable portfolio of designs to choose from small to large. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, well, we offer homes in our ADU product line that are as small as 440 square feet for a studio and as big as 1,200 square feet for a three-bedroom product, and all different types of sizes, floor plans, and configurations in between the two. And we can build homes through our factory partners that really fit pretty much any lot configuration that at least has the physical space to fit the home. And a big part of our approach in our business is we want to offer these homes to our clients at the lowest possible cost, give them the widest selection of choices possible, and then provide fast and reliable fulfillment. And that's a formula that works for a lot of different businesses, and housing is really no exception. And from our perspective, having a wide variety of home sizes, floor plans, and configurations that the client can spec up and put upgrades into if they want to make it really, really nice on the exterior and interior finishes, or potentially value engineer it for more of an investor purpose, we can accommodate all of those requests and design selections from our clients, regardless of what they want to use the unit for at the end of the day. And that's something that we believe really firmly in, is that level of personalization and customization is really important to get folks the home they want at the end of the day for whatever use case they have to want to build the home in the first place.
Now, a lot of cases, when we talk about factory construction, we often think about panelized, or at the other end of the spectrum, boxes that are fully outfitted, including the exterior cladding, in some cases even with the appliances strapped in place. Which approach do you prefer?
Yeah, we're on the full box end of the spectrum, or what's called volumetric prefab, where the home comes out of the factory as a three-dimensional structure, and all of the associated building systems, you know, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, all of that is installed at the factory, which makes the production cost relatively efficient. And the quality of the home is rigorously inspected by both the factory and our team. And then the on-site installation of the home is relatively quick, which when you're doing these infill projects, building a home in someone's backyard or beside an existing apartment building, you really want to be able to be on and off that job site relatively quickly to minimize the disruption to the local neighborhood. So we find the advantages of volumetric prefab and bringing that full 3D structure in to be able to install it quickly, something that our clients care about a lot, and something that we're really focused on. That's not to say that we don't like other types of prefabricated construction. Panelized has a lot of merits, but what we find is it ends up being more expensive and a bit slower to actually install, because panelized may solve part of the framing and part of the, you know, MEP, but you're still doing a lot of on-site work, which slows things down and adds cost, and also adds complexity with respect to the trade base you have to bring to the project. So we haven't really focused on panelized for those reasons, and we really like the volumetric approach just because it works really, really well for our clients.
Now, physical constraints often mean that when you're bringing a completed module into a property, you probably sometimes have to lift a box over an existing house with a 40-ton crane and drop it in place. You're not just going to wheel it down the driveway in a lot of cases. Talk a little bit about some of that complexity.
Yeah, for sure. Well, part of the feasibility assessment that we do with clients who are looking to build one of our homes is figuring out the viability of both the route to get to the site, as well as the installation conditions. And sometimes, actually more often than you'd think, we can do what's called a roll set, where we don't need a crane and we can just essentially use machinery to move the home from the trucking configuration onto the ultimate foundation. But sometimes we do need a crane, which does add some cost and complexity. But still, what we find is even with those costs of transportation and the installation costs of having that crane, it's still going to be faster and more cost effective to build the home through this approach than site building it. We do run into some infeasible properties where there's things like overhead high voltage power lines or other site-specific conditions that make prefab difficult, and sometimes we can't do the project, but more often than not, we can find a creative solution to be able to get the home in where it needs to go.
When we talk about ADUs, most people understand what that means in the context of a R1 zone principal residence. Can you talk a little bit more about how that fits, even from a, let's say, a regulatory standpoint in the multifamily case? Because we don't typically think of ADUs in a multifamily context.
Yeah, absolutely. So under the current California law, both existing and also proposed multifamily dwellings will qualify for ADUs. And essentially, the way the law works is you can add two detached ADUs per multifamily tax parcel. And there are certain allowances that may allow you to do conversion ADUs for up to 25% of your existing unit count. So, for example, if you have an 8-unit building, you can add as of right 2 ADUs and then potentially add another 2 ADUs or 4 ADUs, depending on kind of how things play out in the physical space. So, there's definitely a motivation from the state law perspective to add density to these types of properties. And I think it's a really good thing because a lot of these multifamily properties have been constructed decades ago and they do have excess land or potentially excess parking that can be turned into yield for that property owner. And add housing to a really good neighborhood where people actually want to live. It's been a really interesting segment for us, and we've done work with a lot of large institutional clients who are building these on assets they already have, and taking land that you already own and making it into yield at a pretty interesting return on cost is something that makes a whole lot of sense for them. And it's part of our mission to add housing across the state in places where it's needed, so it works really well.
Now, California is one of those states where people either love to invest there or they run the other way. And
Yes.
have you looked at this in any other states apart from California?
Well, we have. So California's laws are by far the most advanced in the country at this point. And it's one of the few jurisdictions where the state has set the rules and really overridden a lot of local jurisdictions that had previously had restrictions on building this type of housing. What we've seen in other jurisdictions is it's more of a grassroots or bottoms-up policy movement where at the local city, county level, rules are starting to change to make this type of infill housing more feasible. And we've seen some state legislatures propose legislation that would, in many ways, echo what California has done. Colorado, where I live in particular, had a bill in the last legislative session that got pretty far along, which would have had a statewide deregulation of ADUs as well. So there's definitely policy momentum moving in this favor because the example that California has set has largely shown that this type of deregulation can enable the private markets to really meet a critical need and add housing in places where people want to live and work. And by the government really kind of getting out of the way, it allows private capital to meet the needs of the market. And that's a good thing for the housing market. We all know the housing market is massively undersupplied. And so I think what we'll see in the coming years is an increasing momentum towards this type of California model working in other places.
Well, we're very deeply invested in Colorado ourselves, and so we're going to be very watching this very carefully to see how this progresses in Colorado with tremendous interest from our side for sure. Well, Sean, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Yeah, well, our website is villahomes.com, Villa homes.com. And there's a lot of fun stuff on the website. You can see renderings and photos of our homes. You can, if you live in California, you can pull up your home address and position one of our ADU SKUs in your backyard and virtually render what it would look like and how it fits, which is really cool. So yeah, villahomes.com. It gives you pretty much everything you need to know about building an ADU and how we approach it here at Villa. And you can play around with some really cool tools to understand what it might look like if you're using this in your own backyard in California.
Fantastic. Well, Sean, love what you're doing and very innovative. It's definitely, I'll say, ahead of the curve or meeting the market needs, certainly in the state of California. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with the folks at Villa Homes with Sean Roberts at villahomes.com. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.